very simple little old outline tonight, maybe a Sunday school lesson we might get out of it. If God would bless it, we had hoped that we could get that Sunday school lesson out of it. I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalm 33 in your Bibles, please, tonight. Psalm 33. Now, I want you to be praying about something while you're turning there. I'm going to try to get back into the book of 1 Thessalonians and try to finish up chapters 4 and 5 in our preaching through that particular book. And Lord being my helper, I'd like to get back to the book of Psalms and pick up where we left off in Psalms. And even if we have to take that on a verse-by-verse exposition, some of the Psalms are very difficult to preach from unless you're preaching a verse-by-verse exposition of that. And that's really never been my particular style of preaching or way of preaching. And I may have to bend just a little to get it, but I believe if I will, it'll be rewarding to us. Psalms, a tremendous book in the Bible. And I want to try to maybe get back to there if the Lord would lead in that way and let me do that. Psalm 33, I want to read the entire chapter, all 22 verses tonight. The Bible said, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he had chosen for his own inheritance." Boy, that's a verse that put a lot of folks, they'd get upset if a man was to preach out of that verse. But I'm telling you what it says. I don't have to tell you what it says. You've got a King James Bible. You can read it. And if you think you chose him, you're badly mistaken, ladies and gentlemen. A sinner left to himself would never choose God nor righteousness. He would always lean towards sin and choose the way of the world. "The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." Now may the Lord add his blessing to that reading of Scripture. Let's pray, and I'll try to bring you a little short Sunday school lesson tonight. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow this evening to thank you, Lord, for the songs that we've enjoyed tonight, I thank you so much for our young people. I thank you so much, Lord, for your work of grace that's been done in our heart. I pray, O God, that you'd bless us tonight through the preaching of thy word. I ask you to anoint with power once again your servant and allow me, Lord, to preach with unction and liberty tonight to your people. Help me to express the very heart of God through these verses, and be a blessing and a help to the people of God. I pray you'll save sinners and revive the church, and God restore the song that we've lost. And bless, I pray, every saint, Lord, and send revival to the house of God and glorify your name. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, read verse number 1, really, as our text verse tonight. The Bible said there, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. And then he said, for praise is comely for the upright. Now, I'm amazed at the last song that Brother George selected for us tonight to sing as a congregation, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory is mine. And then the song goes on. And it is certainly a song about the saints of God and their praise to the Lord. Amen. And I want to try to bring you just a little thought and a little Sunday school lesson tonight on the thought of David's song of praise. Amen. God forbid that we should ever lose our song. I do believe that probably Psalm 40 occurred in David's life even prior to the writing of the 32nd Psalm. I believe it's something that took place earlier in his life that he's writing about. And no doubt when he wrote Psalm 40, he realized that God had put a song in his mouth. And that song is a song of praise, because praise is comely for the upright. And David here is simply reminding himself of that song that God has given him and the fact that God is worthy of our praise. I don't want you to forget that the Psalms, and the majority of them written by David, were written as songs to be sung in the holy place. That's right. The Jews, the Hebrews, they sang these Psalms as they went to worship. And they sang them with joy and with jubilance. And you and I, having been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we are to sing the songs of Zion with joy and jubilance in our heart, simply because we are a child of God. And the fact that we have been redeemed, and God has given us that song in our heart. And that song is simply our own efforts to worship and adore and appraise the God that loved us and died upon the cross for our sin. And let me say this. God forbid that we should ever hang our harps upon the willows down in Babylon and be unable to sing the songs of mirth. I'm talking about the songs of real joy. God's people were taken into captivity. And in Psalm 139, those that had taken them in captivity required of them a song, sang the songs of Zion. And they said, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? But David said here, rejoice in the Lord. I wonder if that may be where Paul got his thought in the book of Philippians when he said, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. In other words, put a double whammy on that thing. Rejoice in the Lord. And what Paul's really saying, I'm not just playing around. I'm not just saying this to fill up space in this book that I'm writing to you. I rejoice in the Lord. And he said, and again, I say rejoice. And why, Brother Hall? Because our praise is comely. If we're upright, if we're saved by the grace of God, the praise that we offer to our Lord in song is upright. And there's not a thing wrong with it. A good hallelujah is in order in the house of God. A good hearty amen is proper in the house of God. There's nothing wrong with getting excited like Miss Sharon did in the house of God. Why, it's enough to make you excited. Why, God's put a song in your heart and you're bubbling over a little, and one of your own youngins gets up and sings and seems to be blessed in their own soul by God. That is enough, ladies and gentlemen, to cause us to rejoice in the Lord. And by the way, Paul said, and rejoice evermore in the Lord. Not just every now and then, but forevermore. Praise God, and we will rejoice forevermore if we've been saved by the grace of God. And, you know, joy is really the fountain of praise. I marvel at how little joy that we've got today. Rejoice in the Lord. Praise is comely for the upright. And really, joy is the fountain of our praise. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it's that joy that God has given us. And by the way, if you read through the New Testament, even the Lord Himself, He said, I have given you my joy. I have spoken unto you these words, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, I'm going to tell you, if your joy is full, ladies and gentlemen, it will sooner or later come out of you in the form of praise. I tell you why folks can't praise the Lord. There's no joy. There is no fullness of joy in the heart of man that cannot praise God for what He's doing. I got up down at Brother Bryce and cut a real rug. I mean two or three times I cut a rug. And we left there that night. I told Miss Hall, I said, I didn't see you up shouting tonight. She said, and you didn't see me sitting here crying. And so I might shout and you might cry. And somebody else may take a laugh or two. Somebody else may get the holy giggles, but I'm telling you, in one way or another, that joy that the Lord has put there will come out of you in the form of praise unto our God, because praise is comely for the upright. Well, I mean, most Baptists live like they got glass eyes. No tears out of a glass eye, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. And most of them live like they got a heart of stone. No joy in there. No praise in there. And I'm telling you that joy is the fountain of praise. If the joy of the Lord is in our heart because we have been redeemed by the grace of God, there will be some praise in our life somewhere down the line. I'll never forget years ago, I believe it was in 96, before we extended that platform. Why, it was in our camp meeting that year, our Jubilee. And our girls had sang that song, I Have a Goodly Heritage. And to my amazement, Sister Hall come off of that platform and started shouting going down that aisle. I'm telling you, it stirred me up. I mean, I got all excited. We was in there in a marathon. Wasn't nobody here, I don't think, but myself, Brother Brown, maybe Brother Doug. And we didn't even know Miss Hall was in the back. And it kind of got on in that room. And we heard somebody carrying on in the back room. And Brother Brown hit it out. And it was my wife come out of there praising God. I mean, we didn't know she was even back there, ladies and gentlemen. And I doubt that she knew that we got stirred up. But somehow God worked in our hearts to bring us all to a place of real joy and praise together in the house of God. David said, rejoice in the Lord. Oh, yes, oh, ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Joy is the soul of praise. It's the very soul and the spirit of it. You heard somebody say, that man don't have much soul about him. That is, they ain't have much spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you the reason a lot of folks ain't got much soul about them, they don't have no joy. Amen, I'm telling you, joy will give you a little spirit down in your soul, ladies and gentlemen. It'll put a little spring in your step, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. It'll even put a smile on your face, ladies and gentlemen. It'll put a song in your heart, and that song will come out in praise from your lips. Old Brother Paul said this in the book of Hebrews. He said, we ought to offer Him the sacrifice of praise, even the fruit of our lips. Now, you can't get around that. That's the Bible. Now, I didn't write that. That's the Bible. And I preached on praise a whole lot. You know why? Because it's comely for the upright. God enjoys it, ladies and gentlemen. It is a blessing to the Lord when His youngins respond to His love in praise and adoration of what He has done for them in their life. Amen. Amen. To delight ourselves in God is most truly to extol Him. Even if we let no notes of song proceed from our lips, that God is and that He is such a God, and our God, ours forever and ever, ladies and gentlemen, should awake within us an unceasing and overflowing joy. God have mercy, can you get a hold of that tonight? That this God is our God forever and ever.
And it ought to bring about an overflowing joy within our heart to know that the God that is control of everything in heaven and earth and under the earth is your God tonight. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. Let the enemies of hell assail. Let the battles come be what may. If God be for us, who can be against us? And if God be on our side, then whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid of? If God be my God tonight. And I just read again the other day where he said, my times are in thy hands. That's what David said in Psalm 31, my times are in thy hands. Hallelujah to God. The times being a time to be born, the time to die, and every other time in between there. A time to laugh and a time to weep and a time to grieve and a time to sorrow, a time to smile, a time... Amen! All of our times are in God's hands, ladies and gentlemen. That tells me that He's in control of everything. Woo! He's in control of you and me and everything about us. Somebody said, am I a robot? No, but He knows how to make our will His very own. You'll catch a hold of that after a while. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, every song, every country has got songs that characterizes that country. It's got love songs. America's got love songs. We've got war songs. We've got patriotic songs. Every country has got songs that characterize that country. Now, come on in the house, boys and girls. Our home is in another country. And I want to say that heaven has got songs that characterize that country. And they are songs that extol and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. What a God we serve. I may get that wall behind me before tonight's over. Amen. I'm telling you, there are heavenly songs of heavenly praise, and God hath put them in earthen vessels that we on earth may return that praise unto Him. Amen. Somebody said, what do you want us to do, preacher? Praise the Lord. I think that's obvious. I'm not beating around the bush, am I? I wrote an email to that effect and like I got killed over it. When everybody was talking about the president, I wrote an email to a bunch of my army buddies on quit beating around the bush. Some of them didn't like it. But I'm not beating around the bush. And somebody said, why are you preaching? It's because God said to. And because we've been down the mullet grubs long enough. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, that we got our act together and realize that we are redeemed, blood-bought children of the Lamb of God. Amen. That's right. We come to church and twiddle our thumbs and pick our fingernails and, amen, sharpen our fingernails and cut fingernails and scratch the floor, look around, see what everybody else is doing. Our mind's 1,000 miles from God. Amen. I'm going to praise Him. Because it's comely for the upright. Are you upright tonight? Are you righteous tonight? Are you a child of God tonight? Have you been to Calvary tonight? Are you redeemed tonight? Are you blood-bought tonight? Then praise is coming for the upright. Amen, amen, amen. Better believe that's right. Now a hymn is to be sung with either joy or thanksgiving. That's right, joy or thanksgiving. And how can you be thankful for something if you don't have a little joy about it? I'm thankful I'm married to my wife, and that brings out a little joy. I'm thankful I'm saved. And them kids sang that song tonight. I forget even today. I've been through enough to know. He'll be there for me. Amen. I'm telling you, when they sing, and look here, when somebody asks us to sing it and gets blessed, guess what it does? If you've got any joy in your heart, that thing ought to ring your blesser as well. Amen. Well, them kids got singing tonight, and it blessed my blesser. Their joy overflowed, and I got to drinking from the saucer. Amen. We're just one step from laughing from the floor. Amen. I feel a new spirit in the place. I feel a Holy God breathing on this place again. I feel the power of God settling in this place again. I feel the hand of God working in this place again. Amen. Hallelujah. Miss Sue got shouting back there tonight. I'm telling you, when she gets to shouting, it stirs me up, buddy. It just does. It just blesses my blesser. Her joy gets full and runs out. Guess what? It spring causes my joy to spring up. She got to shouting. I begin to say to myself, spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. Oh yeah, spring up in me a little bit too. Somebody said, well, if it gets too wild, it won't. Ain't enough wet blankets around to put the fire out. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, we might get her burning bright enough where they can't put it out. Amen. Now I want to say this. I may not get this, and the Lord just brought it to my mind, so I'll say it right here. He said in verse 3, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. And I said, I don't like it loud. But God, you don't like what God likes then. He said, play skillfully with a loud noise. You kids get over there. If you know how to play and stay in tune, son, let her rip. Amen. Rejoice in temporal comforts is dangerous. The rich man in Luke 12:16-21 rejoiced in his own possessions. And God said, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. To rejoice in self is foolish. Nebuchadnezzar rejoiced in what he had done. God put him out in the field eating grass like a beast. To rejoice in sin is fatal. They rejoiced around a golden calf in Psalm 32 and God smote that crowd. And judged that crowd. God help us, ladies and gentlemen, never to rejoice in sin. God said praise is comely for who? The upright. The upright. The upright. Amen. To rejoice in God is heavenly. Woo! Amen. Now stay right with me. I got to get down here to the bottom of this. I don't want to keep you no longer than we have to tonight. Not over midnight anyhow. We'll let you. If we stay till midnight, I'll take up an offering again, okay? And we'll go back in the back and eat potato chips when we get done or something. Hallelujah. But the object of our praise is the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Not in anything else but the Lord. Not in yourself, not what you've accomplished or achieved or what you possess. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't rejoice in the job God gave you. Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. In Him. And why? Rejoice in the Lord because of creation. I don't have time to read these, but verses 6 through 8 deals with the creation. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. My goodness, can't you look around? You just look around you at what God has done and rejoice over that. I'm not a tree hugger. I'm not a member of the Green Party. I don't hug trees and worship fish. Now, I'm going to tell you how stupid people are getting today. Through Mississippi or Alabama one, Miss Hall said, look over at that billboard. And I didn't see it. I said, Pat, I said, what was it? She said they had a big billboard up and had a dog on that billboard with a fish hook in his mouth and a string going from it and a pole and had underneath of it, you wouldn't do this to a dog. Implying that men ought to stop fishing. Well, praise God, I'm like Brother Brown, I like mine fried. And son, I'll eat every one of them. I'll eat every batch you want to bring cook up for me. Amen to God. I'm telling you, that's ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. God created the heavens and the earth and things that are in the earth for the blessing of man. Amen. I'm going to tell you, He created them fishing. Thank God and praise Him for it. Amen. Thanks be unto Him. More to praise Him for salvation, shouldn't we? If you can't praise Him because you're saved, you've got a bad problem. Yeah. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Proclaim what? In fact, I'm redeemed. Yeah. How are we redeemed? By the blood of the Lamb? That's how. Can we not praise Him for the blood of the Lamb? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, ladies and gentlemen. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given. given that to you as an atonement for your souls upon the altar I've given to you. Praise God, I'm praising for the blood. Somebody said he's got a slaughterhouse religion, call it whatever you want. He shed his blood for sinners. Praise God, he come to save sinners and cleanse sinners. Can't you praise him for what he's done in your life? He brought some of you off of bar stools. He brought some of you out of dens of iniquity. He's brought you out of all kind of worldly entanglements and sin, ungodliness, wickedness. Brought you down to the church house. Put a song in your mouth, and now all he's saying is rejoice with that song I put there. And let that joy, let that rejoicing come in the form of praise unto me. And we can't even do it. He's only delivered us. He's only delivered us from sin, death, hell, and the grave. I don't know if I said this in assembly or in Sunday school. I believe I said it in Sunday school. But the last verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 says this, and to wait for his Son from heaven, who has delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, if you can get a hold of this, honey, it'll make you shout. I always knew God delivered us from wrath. And I always knew he delivered us from sin and death and the grave and delivered us from hell, but delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, I want to ask you, whose wrath is that? For the wrath of God abideth on them. I'm telling you, that wrath that he's talking about is the very wrath of God. You realize that God's wrath was to be poured out on every unbeliever. Get a hold of this. This will make you run your head through a wall. God delivered you from himself. Now, if you get a hold of that, God's judgment, not my judgment, ladies and gentlemen, God's judgment. God said, you're under the wrath of God, but Jesus delivered you from that wrath. In other words, Jesus delivered you from God. Now, you think on that. Somebody said, you're nuts. No, I'm not nuts. I'm not nuts as you think, most noble Festus. These are words of sobriety I'm talking about tonight. Amen. If you think I'm telling it wrong, where do you get to hell? It says, wait till we stand at the white throne judgment and watch that crowd be cast into the lake of fire and ask them whose wrath, who created that lake of fire. And why they're going there. They're under God's wrath, ladies and gentlemen. But that's just a way of saying God did deliver us from hell, from a fiery furnace. God delivered us from the place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dies not. And we ought to be able to praise him because of that. Hallelujah to God. I am not going to hell tonight. No, but I'll tell you where I am going. I am going to heaven. Amen. Amen. What a God. I'll tell you, we can praise him for glorification. We're going to get a new body one of these days. Hallelujah. Brand new body. For we know if this earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a house not made with hands reserved in the heavens. Praise God. I'm going to move out of this Model T into a Jaguar. Amen. I don't know what I'm going to look like, but I'm going to be prettier than I am now. No wrinkles. Woo. Doug will have hair on his head. That wonderful what God's are doing for us. I want to define these very quickly and move on. I'll be done in just a few minutes. Define. What is praise? Laudation. A hymn of praise. To revere or worship with extended hands. To address in a loud tone. To commend. To give glory to triumph. To shine. To make a show. To boast. And boy, this is going to get some of you. To be clamorously foolish. Somebody said, Hall acts like a fool. Amen. It's what the Bible said, to be clamorously foolish. To rave. Hooray! Now they go to football, basketball, baseball games, and they rave. They go to the racetrack on Sunday, and they rave. And we come to the house of God and act like we ought to shut up. It means to celebrate. Hallelujah, ladies and gentlemen. I'm celebrating. I gloriously triumphed. Why? Because the Lord has gloriously triumphed for you and I. That's what they said when they crossed the Red Sea and got on the other side. They said the Lord has gloriously triumphed over horse and rider. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Something just struck me I've never seen before in my life. There is four horses and four riders in Revelation 6. And one of them's a white horse, and it comes. That's the devil coming in on a white horse, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'm telling you, there's four riders, four horses, and God has triumphed over all four of them. Now, I've never seen that before in my life. Till right then, the Holy Ghost fed my soul with that right there. I can't. One of them's a pale horse, one of them's a dark horse. I can't even read all of them. Don't even remember them. But they gloriously triumphed over horse and rider. Amen. I know what that last one is. I know who's on him. Amen. Death and hell's following him. Amen. 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 He's gloriously triumphed. Amen. And we ought to be able to come to church and celebrate the victory. Whoa, that is, I believe I'm going through that wall. I'm telling you, one of the definitions is to celebrate. And what do people celebrate besides a victory, ladies and gentlemen? Amen. And it's not working to a victory. Bless God, we've already got the victory. We've already won the battle. We've already won the war. I tell you, victory's already ours. Hallelujah. Praise is comely for the upright. Rejoice in the Lord. Thank you, son. Waiting on you to get right with God too, bud. Don't you smile. You too, Jumba. Old Buckwheat and Jumba. Amen. The objective of praise. What is its purpose? To adore the Lord. Our praise reveals our gratitude. We're to be thankful. It expresses our love. Certainly, surely we love Him tonight, don't we? It humbles our heart. In praise, it acknowledges our inabilities and our unworthiness. Our praise magnifies Him above us. It reveals the fact that He is greater than what we are. In fact, praise is only for the most magnificent. We don't praise the lower beggarly elements of the world. But we praise the chief, the king, the Lord of lords. Who is this King of glory? Why, the Lord of hosts. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, ladies and gentlemen. He is the only wise potentate. There is not another above Him. His throne is above the stars. His name is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's not another more as beautiful as He. He's the altogether lovely one. Amen. And it's amazing. He's the altogether lovely one, and yet He had no form or comeliness that He should be desired. But I tell you, the grace that He offered you and I made Him the most beautiful thing in all the world. All the heavens too. Amen. I'll tell you something else praise will do. And this is where the rubber meets the road and crucifies the flesh. And some of y'all ain't never been able to get that done. Now, I wouldn't do that, Brother Hall. It would just embarrass me. Good. I wish it would one time. If it ever did, you'd get over it. Take my word for it.
You know, it's an amazing thing. People go to ball games, and the whole crowd is up carrying on, and it don't embarrass them. Then they get up and carry on. But it embarrasses us. And it will embarrass the flesh. How do you think Brother Joel Gray felt that time over Sturgeon? He made them splits around that auditorium and then come up there and straddled that choir rail. Straddled it. Eased himself over it and sat down. In about 5 minutes, jumped up and started hollering. Do you think that hurt me? Didn't it? It didn't hurt me, bless God. Well, you know it did. Brother Joel, if you're listening, no offense, you know I love you. And I do love him. I believe God's put our hearts together a little.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm saying you're gonna have to get over this thing of your flesh if you ever praise God.
Amen.
Mortified. Now I want to say a couple more things and I'm done. The objects of our praise. The objects of praise, rather. The objects of praise. Now I've already mentioned the righteous. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, and the upright. For praise is comely for the upright. There is the object of praise. That's the only people that have the right to praise God.
Amen.
The upright and the righteous, period.
Amen.
Let me read something for you here. Praise is not comely for unpardoned professional singers. It is a jewel of gold in the swine's snout. That's why I don't fool with the crabby Appletons. Praise, ladies and gentlemen, is a jewel in a swine's mouth if it's being offered by unholy lips. And I'm telling you, this crowd of diesel sniffers running around all over the country. And I never in my life find have been saved out of cussed. I walked in that motel lobby down there on Thursday night after the meeting. And I'm telling you, there's some woman up there. And about 1,000 or 1,500 folks out there. Oh, yeah. Ha, ha. And are following some woman in their little worship and praise. And the woman was wearing breeches, an abomination to God, trying to praise God. It's like a jewel in a swine's mouth. God looked on that and regurgitated. You can tell him I said so. That don't bother me a bit. Somebody said, how do you know they wasn't saved? Because saved people don't act that way. Amen. Carrying on with a bunch of nonsense gibberish. Get this, crooked hearts make crooked music. Crooked hearts make crooked music. But the upright are the Lord's delight. Now somebody said, now Brother Hall, you oughtn't to say that. I'm glad you mentioned that. I didn't say that.
Amen.
Charles Spurgeon said that, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Well over 100 years ago.
Amen.
He died in what, 1896? 5? 2? 3? 2? Well over 100 years ago, Spurgeon made that statement. Now get this and see if you can guess this one. A profane man stuck with God's praise is like a dunghill stuck with flowers.
Amen.
Somebody said, you oughtn't to say that. I didn't. Thomas Watson did.
Amen. Amen.
You take some of the most beautiful roses in the world, go out here and stick them in a pile of manure. They're not very pretty. They got the root in the wrong thing.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, that crowd's got the root in the wrong thing.
Amen.
Amen. I'm tired of hymn sayings and folks worshiping some professional traveling bunch of singers that wouldn't know God if he walked out in front of them.
Amen.
And listen to me, and you can like this or not, don't matter to me. And God has ordained the church, not the executive end in Owensboro, for His praise to be offered.
Amen. Amen.
I get letters, used to get them all the time. Come with us on a cruise in the the South Pacific. And we're going to have this group singing. And we're going to have old brother so-and-so there. Oh, yeah, and if I told you some of them, you'd faint.
Amen.
Tag. And some others.
Amen.
Primitive.
Right.
Are you listening to me? Out on a ship. And they go to church at night and stand in there and sing and try to praise God and put on their shorts and go sunbathing the next day on the deck.
Yeah.
Oh, now, Brother Hall, they don't do that. Well, I don't know that. What's the purpose of going out on a ship and going down in the Bahamas if you ain't going to get a little sun? I don't charge you nothing for that. The godly are the only ones that's fit to be choristers in God's praise. It is called the garment of praise in Isaiah 61:3. The garment sets handsome only on a saint's back. Again, Thomas Watson said that. So I'm telling you, praise only fits the upright, ladies and gentlemen. And the righteous. Not the lost and the unpardoned. Not the ungodly. Stay right with me and I'm about done. Look at the instruments of praise. Get a hold of this and we'll be done in just a minute. In verse number 2, praise the Lord. Here's the instruments. With a harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and with an instrument of 10 strings. Now the only thing I want to comment on is that instrument of 10 strings. Wonder why the Lord specified an instrument of 10 strings. He could have just said on a stringed instrument. But He specified an instrument of 10 strings. I believe some of you done left me now. I done offended some of you over that bunch of singers. You think, oh, somebody will hear Him. I hope so!
Yeah.
Amen. Amen! Maybe some of them get right with God.
Yeah.
Somebody said, you're too tight. Not nearly as tight as I'm going to get.
Yeah.
Somebody said, you're too narrow-minded. Amen! I'm telling you, I'm on the narrow way. I'm not in the broad way. I'm not broad-minded. I'm narrow-minded on the narrow way, ladies and gentlemen. I like what our young people sang tonight. In the church, singing in the church. It's crowd traveling. You made me get on it again. Getting in their buses and running around all over the country and they're never in church. Bunch of diesels never come to the church or come to some hall somewhere and sing, and the minute preaching starts up, they're outside in the bus smoking cigarettes. I've seen it happen. I went to hear Dr. Harold Siler preach in a church right down here by the lake several years ago, Herbert Williamson and I, and got there and he had a group in there to sing. They got done singing, went outside, smoked cigarettes, and then come in and sang the invitation. They ain't doing it here. Amen. Hallelujah. I wonder why he said 10 strings. Because 10 is a fullness. And we're to sing with every chord of the heart.
Amen.
That is, we're to give it all we got, ladies and gentlemen. It's not, He's not here rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
For praise is coming for upright. It's not tight-lipped, low-keyed, monotone. Don't give a rip, sing it.
Amen.
In other words, it's singing the letter.
Amen.
Open her up and let her fly.
Amen.
Put your heart into it.
Amen.
Put everything. Put your soul into it. I tell you, if we sing as a congregation, we ought to engage the Lord with our very heart and soul in it, ladies and gentlemen. He is worthy of that. He is worthy of that. Amen. Now, finally, he said in verse 3, sing unto Him a new song. How do we praise Him? Instruments of praise, harp, psaltery, instrument of 10 strings, and a new song. Now, I want to say this, that old worn-out praise is not good enough.
Amen.
What happened in 96 is not good enough for 05.
Amen.
What we did in 99 is not good enough for 05.
Amen.
No, sir. God don't want our worn-out praise.
Amen.
He wants it new, fresh, all of our heart.
Right.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you why. Because our mercies. God's mercies is renewed every day, ladies and gentlemen. And if His mercy is renewed every day, our song of praise ought to be new every morning to Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, some of you don't like still yet what I said about them singers, and if you don't smile, I'm going to get in your face. But I don't care whether you like it or not. I'm telling you, I'm tired of this junk damning people to hell. I told a fellow, and I'm not going to call his name over the radio. He might be listening. He does listen from time to time. He's a pretty good fellow. But he said, why don't you ever come to the executive end? And I said, for one reason. God ordained the church.
Amen.
To Him be glory in the church. He said, well, we're all in the church. I said, you need to read your Bible.
Amen.
See, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the doctrine of the church is a bigger Bible doctrine than most Baptists think it is.
Amen.
And these fellas that I'm preaching with now, and I say this in love, I told them the very doctrine that they're embracing now, they crucified me for 10 years ago.
Amen.
The doctrine of the church.
Amen. Right.
Now they have seen the light, the blessed gospel light. They've seen it.
Amen.
The light about the church. This is the only church there is.
Amen.
Now there may be another one congregated, but I'm telling you, there's not any outside these doors. And I heard a preacher say down in the meeting, and it kind of vexed me a little bit. Kind of got on the church house, said the church, said the house of God ought never take precedence over the church. Well, I agree with that to an extent. But I'm telling you, the house of God is a sanctioned place for the church to meet.
Amen.
And this is a holy place.
Amen.
We're a holy people in a holy place, ladies and gentlemen, singing to a holy God.
Amen.
And every time we come in, we're standing on holy ground. Get your shoes off.
Yeah,
unless you got holes in your socks. I didn't mean that literally. You'll catch what I meant by that by slow praying. Rejoice in the Lord.
Yeah.
David said, for praise is comely to the upright, for the upright. David's song of praise. You got one tonight? You got any praise in your heart? Have you got a song in there? If you ain't, God give it to you. Let's stand together. I want to say again that I appreciate the good liberty to preach that God seems to be giving us back in the house of God. Just tremendous liberty. And folks, God's not done with us. God's not done with this work. God's not done with you. By no means. And I tell you again, God loves you. God wants us to get just as thoroughly right as we can, draw as close to Him as we can draw, be just as right as we possibly can be. I believe God wants to do a great work here. And I mean that. I really do. We've got such a tremendous opportunity. God's given us an outlet for the gospel through the station. Opportunity of buying another one. We can pass out tracts. We can tell other sinners about Christ. We can invite people to church. We can bring people to church if we wanted to. We could bring them right to the house of God. We could see folks saved. I believe we're going to. I believe revival comes, it'll burden and break our hearts for the souls of lost men and women, boys and girls. And I tell you, when they get here, see a dead church that has no life. If there's no life there, they can't give life. Dead churches have no life to offer dead sinners. I wouldn't be bothering the dead church. Not for 1 minute. Not 1 minute. You know what I'm starting to pray? God, if there's people in these churches that's dead and dried up, and they really want something, send them our way. Somebody said, you're selfish. No, I'm not selfish. I just want folks to have something from Him. And I'll guarantee you, there's people sitting in our area. There's people in Madisonville that's in an old dead, dry church that don't preach a thing. Never a good touch of God. Never any joy. Never any singing like we enjoy these kids singing tonight. And I'm praying God will bring them out of these messes to a place where they can rejoice in God.
And if you pardon the feel, the expression, where they can feel the Spirit of God. And there's some that would come. I believe there's people would come. There's probably women would come if their husband wasn't so cantankerous. And there's probably men would come if their wife wasn't so stubborn. That's right. Now I'm praying y'all to get old. Boy, I mentioned I want to pray for his kids that's homesick tonight. Brother Ricky stayed home with little Daniel. I want to pray for him. And Lisa's at home with little Jesse. And I hope he's not, if he's breaking out in specs when you get home, you don't know. Don't think so. I hope not. It'll generally, if Daniel's got the chicken pox, the kids that hadn't had them, you might as well brace yourself. It's just one of them things. They get them young, get over them, they'll be glad they had them young. I want to invite you to come tonight if you need to. If you've lost that joy, if you've lost that song of grace, come tonight and ask Christ to restore that song into your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your help. Bless now in the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. What's that number, Brother Jordan? 156. Let's sing right out on that first stanza tonight. Some of you already come and prayed and went back to your seat. Others may need to come. The altars are open. Available for you tonight. Come right on. Being here tonight, we're going to leave here in just a minute.